Blog Talk Radio.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Good morning and welcome to a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keith. I know, it's Sunday, it's not Saturday, but I thought this was a very important topic to bring on the show and let other people know about this wonderful movie that's coming out, Obama in Ghana, The Untold Story. This was created by Tony Ragusa and two other partners he worked with. He spent a year of his life working on this film, and he has been a former TV news producer for CNN, Fox News. He is going to tell you about something he's doing with BET. I think it's very exciting. And he's going to be featured in the Philadelphia International Film Festival, which is here in Philadelphia this coming week. He'll be showing June 25th at 7 p.m. I believe it's at the African American Museum. I put their website in the chat room, but I also put their website on my homepage at the end of the show. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning to you, and thank you so much for inviting me to be a guest on your program. I appreciate it so much. And I want to say happy Father's Day to all the babas and poppies and daddies out there, and all the single moms also pulling duty. Thank you. Thank you for being great parents.
Oh, I want to join in that happy Father's Day. You beat me to it. I was going to say happy Father's Day to you.
I know you have to say it to me.
Okay, happy Father's Day.
Oh, thank
and
you.
Grandfather. And a grandfather you are, yes?
Yeah, how about that?
Yes,
I love it.
There. So to everyone out there who's a father, and also definitely the single moms who are doing, you know, two jobs at once, happy Father's Day. And now this film, what gave you the idea to go over there? For several weeks you were in Ghana. Talk to me about that.
Yes, Joy. Well, I have two partners, two extraordinary people, African-American brother and sister, Dr. Ambassador Erica Bennett, who is the chief of mission and the founder of the Diaspora African Forum. That is a diplomatic mission which is headquartered on the W.E.B. Du Bois Center campus in Accra, Ghana. I've worked with Dr. Bennett for many years. We've worked on just a whole ton of projects in Africa and throughout the diaspora. She is someone who has a lot of power and a lot of entree to African heads of state. She's a consultant to the African Union. And she learned that the president was going to be coming to Ghana about 2 months before the trip actually was announced in public. And we had some discussions, she and I, and our partner here, a physician in Washington, D.C., and one of my great, great brother friends, Dr. Keith Hunter. And we had a number of transatlantic conversations, email sessions around this whole thing. How and what could we do to take this moment, this special moment in time, and make it something incredible that would reflect the incredible moment that it was, and
right.
also to benefit from it and benefit our people and everyone else. And we decided that we were going to make a film, and we put our funds together. Dr. Bennett has tremendous contacts in Ghana, and she mobilized all those contacts. Dr. Hunter and I here mobilized all of our energies and forces, and sent me to Ghana, and I hired two video crews, Ghanaian videographers and sound people, and found an African-American brother. His name is Trey Shallowhorn. He was a grad student at NYU at the time on a fellowship as a filmmaker in Ghana, just happened to be there for the summer. And,
oh, wow. So that was very serendipitous for you.
Yeah, it was totally serendipitous. And I said, and I looked at his work, and this guy was so talented. And I said, man, the ancestors are all over this project. And let me tell you one of the big surprises and big problems that we had. I've been in media for, you know, more than 30 years.
Yes.
As a television producer, radio.
Teen Summit. You were on Teen Summit. You helped produce Teen Summit. You also worked on Essence magazine. I mean, you have a lot of the hats that you've been wearing.
Yeah, I'm actually the originating producer. I created Teen Summit for Black Entertainment Television. And that was one of my favorite jobs of all of the things that I've done in a really wonderful, blessed career in media and communications. Got this brother, and, you know, he just turned out to be so incredible and just so wonderful and dynamic. But when you are doing news, and I've worked for CNN and CNN International, when you do news in a foreign country, you have to get your credentials and all those things settled in the home country where you're from at the embassy of that country.
Mm-hmm.
And I did all of that. That's normal protocol. Paid the fee, got my press credentials here, got to Ghana, Joy, and discovered with the 3,000-plus other journalists from all around the world, all over Africa, that all of our press credentials had been canceled. And we were being revetted.
By who? Who canceled them?
Well, the Ministry of Information, because there was just so many people who were coming in at the last minute, and I'm telling you, it was just incredible mess for Ghana, and to their credit, they handled it very well.
Good.
Very, very dedicated, and they worked everything out for everybody. But, you know, it was a tremendous moment of panic. What they did, which was really great, they had everybody come to the Ministry of Information. They have a big hall there, and all the journalists came. But there were, you know, when you have issues like that, there are always things.
Yeah,
that
stress. So now tell me, what did you actually get to meet Obama? Did you interview him? Were you just trailing him in the different places and people he visited? What actually is going on in the film itself?
Well, the president's schedule was so tight and there was so much demand for his time that I actually did not get a chance to sit down and interview him. I was in his presence, and I've been in his presence before. I was a producer at the White House for the Stevie Wonder special, and before the president was inaugurated, HBO did a live presentation from the Lincoln Memorial, and I was on the production team for that, and, you know, backstage and working with people at the White House. But still, you know, it's like you're in another country now and you're trying to get to your own president. I was just happy to be able to get everything, especially after we learned that all of our press credentials had been canceled.
Right, exactly. You're walking around like a nobody. Like, who's this guy? So what's one of one of your favorite scenes that you shot, one of your favorite moments in the film?
The film is full of incredible moments. For instance, we captured a meeting at the W.E.B. Du Bois Center the day before the president and the first family flew in from Rome of members of the diaspora community, people, repatriated blacks from all over the African diaspora who live in Ghana, work in Ghana, and are doing very well in Ghana. They have a number of organizations there, which are all centric to their own particular home countries, originating home countries, before they came back to Africa. And so these groups compete in a number of ways, and it had very, very, a lot of problems working together on things, pulling their agendas together. But the president's visit galvanized everyone so much in so many ways that they had this meeting. And they signed a proclamation called the Obama Effect, and they pledged to work together to promote Ghana, to promote Africa, and to promote the interests of Africans in the diaspora for the 21st century. We captured all of that on film, the signing of the document. We also toured and took our cameras down into the slave dungeons at Cape Coast. Very horrific moment, just an incredible, incredible sense of loss and tragedy when you go into those dungeons.
That's what I always hear. I can't wait till I can get to go there, because I think it will also be a cleansing experience to some degree, just to see the beginning of our history as African Americans here, where it started, and then where we are now and how we've come so far. We have an African American president.
You're so right. you're so right about that being the beginning of the African-American experience. The president himself, when he came out of the dungeons, and I understand that the first lady and her mother, and I can't confirm this because I wasn't in there, but I understood that they broke down, and one of the daughters also did, just really teared and cried. And it has that effect on you. It's a powerful experience. It's a cathartic experience. This whole trip, this whole state visit of the president and the first family was a catharsis, a kind of a cosmic catharsis for the African world. You know, the people were celebrating in Ghana when Air Force One touched down, and it was nighttime. This is Friday night, July 10th. When the plane hit the ground, it was like it jolted a bolt of electricity through the
streets of the people. What were some of the things that people were saying? What were they saying to you when they saw you? What did they say?
We love Obama. We love Obama. 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 He's our president. He's the president of the world. We love Obama. Obama. The returning son.
God.
Returning son. He is our son. He is our son. We love Obama. 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 It was just incredible. It was like Mardi Gras in New Orleans at 10 o'clock at night in sub-Saharan Africa. It was just incredible. Everyone was alive. People were dancing in the streets. It was just incredible. It was a totally alive moment. It was just wonderful to see it and be a part of it. And I had a camera crew at the airport, Kotoka International Airport. I worked out so that I could have a crew embedded with the government's crew. It was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome. And we were able to capture just so much that so many other people weren't allowed to get. But one of the things that I want to point out, Joy, and for your listeners, is that these kinds of things are really kind of enterprises, you know. And if you're not connected, you're out. And with this, it didn't matter if you were connected or not. There was at that big meeting that I mentioned at the Ministry of Information, where everyone was really concerned about, you know, basically getting their CREST credentials, which means that they could then feed in at least to the pool and also travel as part of the motorcade with the president's entourage, the president of Ghana and our president.
Mm-hmm.
And what people learned was that the feed was a strict U.S. feed, the video feed. That meant that it was for MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CNN, and CBS only.
Wow. So you had great access.
By the blessings of the ancestors on both sides of the Atlantic and some real sales talk on my part with the Ministry of Information. That advertising sales experience, in essence, really comes in handy.
Came in handy. So what were some of the other struggles? What were some of the other struggles? You talked about landing there and your press credentials were taken away. What were some other difficulties? I mean, just dealing in terms of where did you stay and what did you eat and, you know, moving around with the people in terms of were they very welcoming to you? Were they like, oh, stay away? What were some of the difficulties you might have faced?
One of the difficulties was finding a place to stay, and I wound up staying at the Marcus Garvey Guest House on the campus of the W.E.B. Du Bois Center in Accra, which is just around the corner from the American Embassy. But it's the campus where W.E.B. Du Bois' house, where he and his wife Shirley Du Bois lived for many years, and he passed there in Ghana, and the mausoleum is right next to the house where I was sleeping. So that was incredible, you know.
Wow.
And had my cameras there, and, you know, this genius of the African world, the father of Pan-Africanism and a mentor, political mentor to Ghana's first president, Kwame Nkrumah, you know, he and his wife were sleeping next door, and I'm, you know.
God, I know you were like, ah!
yeah, you know, that's right. You know, so I was going through all of these kind of psychic, spiritual, cathartic experiences of my own, you know, because I'd never been to the site, you
mm-hmm.
know, I hadn't been there before. I've been all over Africa, but, you know, when you're doing news, and I work for CNN International, and a lot of times you don't get to do things that you personally want to do.
Yeah, definitely. You're on there.
And, Yeah, you're on their dime and their time, and, you know, your time is when you get back home.
Right.
Tony,
let me just tell the audience, I put the link to the WED Du Bois Center where he was staying in the chat room. I also try to put it on the page when we finish. But the mission of the center is to promote the continued pursuit of self-definition for Africa and the diaspora and the realization of human rights for all people through research, public education, the arts, and constructive dialogue in the tradition of Du Bois himself. So the link will be there if anyone's interested to check out the page they have, and they have pictures of the facilities and talking about internships and different photo gallery they have, so you can check that out. I just wanted to add that. Go ahead. What were you saying, Tony?
Oh, terrific. That's fantastic. Well, there were a lot of problems. The people in Ghana, most of the people that I've met in Africa really love African Americans. I don't think we know on this side of the Atlantic how much we're appreciated and looked up to, especially in South Africa because of our support here against apartheid. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, as far as they're concerned, you know, brothers and sisters here in the United States are just a collection of superheroes, you know, but we have no idea about that. And that's not important. The most important thing for us is to get to Africa. Well, one of the things that I saw that I didn't like was, you know, some of our brothers and sisters there in media and some folks who were visiting for the visit were treating the brothers and sisters from Ghana like they were second-class citizens.
Oh, that's horrible. Nobody's better than other. I mean, that's ridiculous. That goes to the intra-struggles that we as African Americans deal with in terms of skin color, in terms of our hair. I mean, we got to get over this. That's ridiculous. I mean, just because you maybe have more money or more access to facilities or resources doesn't mean you're better than somebody whose condition, they had no control that they were born there in Africa, in Ghana, and maybe don't have all the resources that you do. I don't think that's any reason to look down on a person. I mean, that's just crazy. Go ahead, Tony.
I was very offended by that, and I made it known to a couple of people, you know, because, you know, for all you know, for all they would know that they didn't know, this could be your actual blood relation, you know. I mean,
look at there. Yeah, look at there. It could be.
But
yeah.
It's the same thing on this side of the ocean. Let me tell you, when I went into the slave dungeon, they called them the slave castles there. There are a number of them in Ghana and Senegal. And it was such a profound experience for me. Now, I've been in the King's Chamber at the Great Pyramid. I was allowed mm-hmm. to go in there for 30 minutes by myself to pray. This was about a year or 2 years ago. And that was a transformational experience for me. When I went into the slave dungeons and my crew were, you know, they're shooting all over the place, and I just kind of mm-hmm. went in there by myself, I actually felt myself trembling.
Wow.
I could feel like my body just broke out in perspiration, and my face got hot, and I went from this incredible deep feeling of remorse to anger to just pride and joy that we African Americans, our ancestors, survived that.
Mm.
Now, one of the things that really burns me is that we have our brothers out here shooting and killing each other, and our ancestors did not go through what they went through for that.
No, it's absolutely ridiculous. There is no respect for human life. I mean, we're here in Philadelphia. You were from Philadelphia. You also have a brother, Marty Reducers, who's a wonderful person, a wonderful photographer. So whole imagery runs in the family. And we have such a high rate of killing by guns. It's just crazy. And there's also killings of police here, which that means there's absolutely no respect for authority. You know, and that's a fearful state to live in. Actually, there's a lot of wonderful things in Philadelphia. One of them is the Philadelphia International Film Festival that your film will be appearing in on Friday,
yeah.
June 25th at 7 p.m. But unfortunately, we have a lot of young people who are very misguided, who I think are bored, who don't have a support system. Maybe they don't have a father. They don't have a mother who's
yeah.
able to negotiate being a parent. I mean, nobody teaches you how to be a parent. You know, today is Father's Day. Who teaches you how to be a parent, you know? So
there's no one. You have to, you know, you learn on your own.
It's yeah.
On the job training
yeah.
for the rest of your life, for the rest of your child's life.
So what do you think Obama can do to help with that? I mean, that's a serious issue in terms of educational resources, financial resources, arts. I think arts are important. I mean, is that how you got into film? Tell me a little bit, when you were a child, were you thinking, I'm going to be a producer, I'm a filmmaker? Where did that start?
It started with my mother.
You laugh.
It started with my mother, Marion Elizabeth. Betty was her name, Betty Jackman Regusters. And she taught me how to draw, you know, when I was like 2 years old. And, of course, I went to town with that after I learned how to draw. I was drawing all over the walls in the house and everything. Just, you know, what a curse, you know. But
right.
I've always been interested in imagery. You know, when I was in grade school, I went to Our Lady of Victory parochial school in Philadelphia, in West Philadelphia. And while everyone else is in class, you know, doing their work, I'm taking paper and folding it and creating comic books, you know, hand drawing comic books, you know, because I was an artist, comic books. I'd make like five a day and sell them for $9.
Wow.
So you
were also an entrepreneur. So this entrepreneurship didn't just start when you were older. You were doing that when you were younger.
The brother was not making $1 now, you know. Had to get my candy.
I had to get my pumpkin seeds. Your pumpkin seeds, you know.
Had to get my pumpkin seeds, baby.
You know, some bubble gum.
Oh, yeah. Shoot. And my comic books, you know.
Okay.
The real ones, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that the moment that I decided that I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to be just, you know, a guy and really do something special was watching the civil rights movement from our black and white televisions back in the late 50s and early 60s in Philadelphia and seeing how media covered the civil rights movement and how all of our leaders had a chance to talk and teach and help transform America. And I realized that there was real power in media. And I said to myself, I want to do that.
Mm.
That's what I want to do. I want to do that. I want to make television. I want to do news. And the other impetus was me playing basketball one day over at Sayre Junior High School. I lived on the north side, and we were on the south side where Sayre is, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I had some friends over there. And, you know, I grew up in a neighborhood that, you know, Philadelphia, as they say, is a tribal city. You know, we had a lot of gangs back then. And I was, you know, kind of a man from two worlds. I was a Catholic school kid, but I was also on the corner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so 56 and Arch and the Barbary Coast, we were the conflicting groups with one another. So I'm over there with some of my friends, Sayre, you know, I'm way out of my territory.
Mm.
And playing ball, and then some guys from the Barbary Coast came into the schoolyard, and, you know, they started buckling, you know, as
uh-oh.
We stayed back then.
Uh-oh, yeah.
As we stayed back in the day, it was like fair one, but it was a fair one after the guy hit you, you know.
You didn't pull out a gun on somebody. You didn't pull out a gun and try to, you know, boom, just take them out. I mean, you had an actual physical fight.
Yeah, things have really changed. But I think when I saw the first size 12 foot coming down on my face, I definitely don't want to be here. You know, I definitely want to be here. I want to be somewhere else. And I think I'm going to follow my dream and find some way to get in the media. And
get in
it. I did.
Who were some of your mentors? We have about 5 minutes left. Who were some of your mentors that helped you along the way? Because, I mean, you have done some incredible things as an African-American male. You've worked in some wonderful facilities and organizations. I mean, who helped you? Do you have a mentor along the way or several mentors?
Well, it's incredible. All of my mentors have been black women. That's really incredible. My mother was my first best mentor and teacher. I learned from Marcia Ann Gillespie, who was the editor of Essence when I worked there. Another very profound friend and mentor for me was Ida Lewis, who was the publisher of Encore magazine. I don't know if you remember that. You may be a little young.
No, maybe a little young. That's okay. You can say that. That's okay.
You're a brother working on points, you know.
Yes, yes.
And some extraordinary women in television news here in Washington, D.C. Betty Endicott, who was a news director for Channel 9 and at Fox Television, both places where I worked, and many others, and they really, they saw my talent, they saw my gift, they saw my ability to maintain my seat in the audience, and a woman, extraordinary woman, Deborah Tang, who was at Black Entertainment Television, the vice president of news, and I'd worked with Deborah, worked for her. She was my boss when I was a producer at Fox 5 here, and she went over to BET, and she said, they were starting the Teen Summit show, and they were trying to get someone to take the show from an idea on paper to reality, and they had three other producers, and nobody could do it. She told Sheila Johnson, Bob Johnson's wife at the time and a co-founder of BET, that she knew a guy that could do it. She called me. I was working at Channel 9 as a writer at the time, and this is a CBS affiliate here in Washington, and mm-hmm. asked me to come over. Was I interested? And I said yes. I came over, and they hired me on the spot.
Wow.
And that's the beginning of that. But a great, great friend of mine is Dr. Julianne Malveaux. I was the producer who took her show national and for Pacifica Radio. And Amy Goodman, who I helped create.
Oh, Amy Goodman. Show. I listened to Amy Goodman.
I helped create Amy's show, and she's been a good friend and a counselor of mine for many years.
Wow.
So those are my influences. Those are my influences. I've been blessed to have, angels in women as, my guides and my friends and my mentors and shepherds.
Well, I want to give kudos to you as a male to be willing to follow women, because sometimes, I think men maybe, I have to be the leader, I have to be the one. But you don't know who is going to be your angel. It could be a man, it could be a woman, it could be a child, it could be a person in Ghana, it could be a homeless person. You don't know who your angel is. So I think as humans, we have to be open and receptive and be ready when the light comes, for, so to speak. Because like you were saying, when you were in Ghana, the Americans were looking down on the Ghanaians. What kind of, what is that? Unfortunately, we have Africans.
Not all.
No, not all. But also Africans sometimes come to America and they're looking down on us as African Americans. I don't think either way is correct, So
right.
Because you don't
right.
know who the angel is going to be. You don't
That's
know
right.
who is going to help lead you to the pot of gold. And your movie right now, Obama and Ghana, The Untold Story, I think is going to be a wonderful movie. Again, it's showing Friday, June 25th at 7 p.m. As part of the Philadelphia International Film Festival. The film link for their website is philafilm.org. Again, philafilm.org, and you can check out the schedule for this week's screenings. But Tony Ragusa's movie will be Friday, June 25th, 7 p.m. at the African American Museum. I want to thank you so much for coming on this morning, Tony.
Thank you, Joy. Thank you, and I hope everyone comes out to the film festival and also supports Obama and Ghana. This film is historic in the sense that it captures the first visit ever of the first ever African-American president to an African nation. It is generating so much interest that it's just beyond me. We're going to be showing the film at the Library of Congress. They've invited us to show the film there. That is so huge, and the film isn't even in distribution yet.
Mm-hmm, it's a blessing.
Wow.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's because I listen to the women in my life.
Oh, I like that. Well, you have a wonderful Sunday. Happy Father's Day. And
Thanks,
I wish you
Julie.
All the best and much success in all your future projects.
And you as well. Thank you so much for having me on your show today. And thank you for your listeners. And I appreciate that. And all the dads out there, again, happy Father's Day to you.
Okay. You have a wonderful Sunday.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I want to thank all the listeners for listening this morning. You can follow me on twitter.com/JoyKeys. You can also become a fan of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys just on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Have a wonderful Father's Day, and tune in next Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern. We'll be here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.